agreed on yet?
No. So, and, all right. Are we ready?
Yeah. Does Paul technically fill in for Jonathan and...
Yeah.
I'm Iron.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay, so welcome today to the Transportation Advisory Committee of the Rural Planning Organization. It is December 6th, 2023. The time is 1:42 p.m. We appreciate Paul Bittman on behalf of Cedar City being online. I think we're going to have to be very cautious about speaking one at a time and speaking loud and clearly so Paul can hear us. So if you would just raise your hand if you have something to say so that he can understand. We also have here representing UDOT, Chris Hall, Dan Jessen from Parowan, and Rich Wilson from Iron County, and my name is Rob Dotson from Enix City. And then this is being facilitated by our friend Nathan Weiberg from the Five County Association of Government. Declaring it a quorum, I would like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda. Before that, I'm suggesting that we actually amend the agenda number 4 will not be an action item. So whoever makes the motion, if they can... potentially, if they feel like it, make that clear.
Rob, I make a motion that we approve the agenda and amend it so that number 4 is not an action item.
I'll second.
A motion by Dan Jessen from Parowan, second by Chris Hall from UDOT to approve an amended agenda taking number 4 transportation priority list and making it a non-action item. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Rich, update the corridor preservation policy. This is your baby. And do you want to move over here?
Yeah, I could.
So what I did. I took the notes from last time that we met 2 months ago and your input. I just want to go over the policy and make sure that it matches what we're actually doing. I took UDOT out. Sorry, Chris, but you're no longer required.
Is this available online that you can share with Paul? No.
I just emailed it to Reed because I thought Reed was going to come online with us because he's ill. He's okay. Got a cold. He didn't want to give it to us. And I thought Reed sent us a message that he was going to be online. So the best I can say is it isn't online because I just, it's a Word document. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
And so we were going to go over this and work together and see if it represented reality, what we're actually doing. So, I'm sorry, Paul. I don't have one for you.
The only one. No problem. I'll listen.
All right. So, we have a list of steps that we take when we want to use the preservation funds. So, why don't I just read it out what it is now? A desired project is requested by having the applicant, applicable highway authority, whether that's the county, the city, or the town, submit a priority list application, Exhibit A, which is to the county planner. The Iron County Rural Transportation Planning Organization, during its meetings, will maintain and update the transportation priority list to ensure that proposed road improvements complies with A, complies with state law and specific local policies, and B, meets the rating sheet, Exhibit B's criteria. So what we do typically in this is we have this transportation priority list, which we've been maintaining and keeping up to date. So if something needs to come onto the list, it's discussed and put on the list. So I don't know that we go through these the rating sheet or not. Hi, Jonathan.
Jonathan just showed Paul.
Great.
Sorry.
Can we discuss step one then?
Yes, and that's what I wanted to just do it line by line and see what there. I had marked this out in red from the prior 2010, the way it read, and as you can see, I've knocked things off, like the applications are due by February 1st of each year. That's not true any longer, and I knocked out the state of Utah. But the question is, are we using the exhibits to put them on the priority list?
Okay. First of all, Iron County Rural Planning Organization. It's not the TRPO. Transportation is not in the name.
It's probably a typo on my part.
If you just remove transportation planning or transportation out of that. So it's Iron County RPO.
Right. Okay.
The second question I have is rating sheet. I don't understand what that means unless, because the applicant, when someone comes in for an application for funding, there's requirements, but there's not a rating. There's not, so I don't know if rating sheet is the right word.
And that's what it's called. And that's why I have it in quotation.
I'm just wondering if we changed it to a compliance sheet. What do you guys think? Because you're not rating these projects. I mean, if somebody comes in with a corridor preservation request for funding, you're not going to rate. Oh, is that rated better than this one that's coming in?
Right.
It's either a yes or no. There's no qualification other than does it meet these standards? Are you doing eminent domain, which you can't? I mean, all those kind of things. But is it on the list?
But will that ever change? I mean, will there ever be enough requests that we are going to have to go through some sort of a rating in order to prioritize? Or
I think potentially, yes. But at this point, there's no rating sheet. There's not a rating sheet now.
Right. Well, there actually is. And it asks those questions that you're asking.
But it doesn't ask.
It's really a criteria sheet, or does it meet the...
It's compliance with the rules
compliance.
Instead of actually, is this qualify more than that project? It's not actually rating projects now. So I don't think rating is the right word.
Right. We have a bunch of check marks and we go, yeah, it does this, it does this, it does this. And we aren't violating any of our own rules or standards. So that's a change.
Can you put that, is that okay, compliance instead of rating?
Yeah, I just made a note of that. That's why we're here in this meeting. Yeah. I wanted to meet what we're actually doing.
Anybody disagree with that?
No. I just what Dan said, if there gets to a point where we have multiple projects that need to be ranked in terms of distributing the funding, then...
But I think that's what we're already doing here with this.
That's a different list, though.
Yeah. And that's the project list. The COG list is different.
I guess I've never seen the COG list, then.
Oh, yeah. It's you don't have it here, do you?
I have it on my computer somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't have to even those projects for the preservation
I'll send you one.
Don't even have to be on this priority list.
Yeah, in 2.5 years I haven't seen one.
Yeah.
I presumed that it was this.
Mm-hmm. Who managed that? Cause Dave.
So Dave.
I thought the county managed it because it was the COG.
We probably did because it was.
But maybe Dave did.
We did it and we went over it in, was it June or October or something?
Yeah. I just looked at it last night. But it was done, the most recent one I have is October.
And that's why this has confused me, because it really should be, it seems like we meet and do our thing, and then we have the Council of Governments, and that's where this priority funding comes from, is their priorities,
so
not ours.
The main difference is that this list, I don't have my copies here, the transportation priority list, these are like construction projects. And the other list is the corridor preservation specific. So it can be on here, but it's not necessarily on here.
Well, isn't that great? 2 years and I learned something again.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe this is a two-step thing. Maybe as long as you're compliant, then you can... Is there a rating section in here?
Well, Exhibit B is that they're actually in that. If you look at the the exhibit, it does have a rating priority. It has some questions about rating, and I don't know why I didn't bring that exhibit.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm still so new at this, I'm learning where Dave kept all of his files.
Well, I'll be honest. I made all these changes 2 months ago. As soon as I got out of this meeting, I looked at it yesterday.
I was going to say, we went through this whole thing and tweaked the language and everything.
Right, right, and I wanted to make sure that captured what you said two months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I actually did this right after that meeting, but there were still some questions in my mind whether it's actually what we talked about.
I wondered, to simplify it, the priority list application and the compliance sheet might be worthwhile combining.
What's that?
What if you combined the priority list application and the compliance or rating sheet? What's the point of doing two? Why not just fill it out in one?
Well, that's right, because you've all seen the application. We tweaked the application several months ago. We just made it simpler. We took it from... and put it.
So, Rob, you just got back, right? Said, to simplify this, why don't we combine the application with the rating or compliance sheet? Why do two for each one? Why not do it all at once?
So if somebody brings in an application to put it on the project priority list, and in that application it has all the criteria on it, so it's in compliance, that makes sense.
Yeah. That way it simplifies it. You don't have to try two different documents. It's all one place. If they submit the application, it has all the information you need for compliance.
So we should combine some of the questions that might be on Exhibit B.
So just completely delete Exhibit B and include
Make
it in the
part
application.
Of Exhibit A.
Part of Exhibit A.
Right.
Can you see that, Paul? Oh, there's a more up-to-date one than this that I don't have.
New one, September?
Yeah, the one you handed out is newer than the one I have.
Yeah, I don't know why it says September 2001 on mine.
Where?
On the top right-hand corner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking here.
What does that say? January 2003?
Yeah. Unless date modified.
Maybe I did print out the wrong one, but mine was.
But this is what I should be looking for, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have an idea of what it is.
Right. It's different. Pages and pages.
And do you still want Nate to manage this like Dave did in the past, or is it something that the county wants to takes over?
Well, Nate just thought we were, and I didn't know we were.
Okay.
I haven't found.
I think that's a clarification we want to have right now. It seems like nobody's been managing it.
No, you guys have been managing it.
Have we been managing
it? Yeah, I think he's going to say, I thought Dave was managing it.
Yeah, he has.
Okay, yeah. This priority list.
Yeah, that priority list. So, okay. You guys want to make it clear that if Nate's still going to do it, or if it needs to transfer to the county.
No, I think when Nate finds the most up-date one. Yeah, this was before I started 21.
I don't know if that's actually the accurate date on it, but it might
be. Is that true? Yes.
I thought we did this in June.
Yeah. Did you have the June 23 on there?
No, so I'm in the 23 list that he had, and they're all listed as 2020. This is the newest one that he has on there.
We did it in January.
Yeah. But I'd have to double check this with what Rob had. Oh, this is 2021.
That's what I'm saying. But
it's not 2021 because that number one was added recently.
In my label of the document, in my files, in my computer, that says 2023. It says September 2023.
Oh.
It's just on this document. It says
the date is definitely wrong because I know that, that transportation planning funds was not on there before. It was added for the application to the Safe Streets for All.
So this date up top should be 23.
Or the what is that?
The access for the belt route?
No, the federal grant you guys put in for. Safe Streets for All. That was added to this list so that the COG could pay for the matching funds of the state Safe Streets for All.
Right.
Okay.
So there has to be a new one. That was recently added.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the most recent one. It's just the top. Sorry.
All right. So
step two.
All right. So now a project is added to the priority list after application review and discussion by us. Take the T out. Requesting authority provides us with relevant supporting documents. Those would be the appraisals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
you hand me a copy of this thing you're working on. I don't think I really care about it. Now I realize we're actually going to go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay.
We did it. I thought we had it fine-tuned, so.
Well, I just wanted to make sure it captured what we said.
Yep, no, you're good.
We vote to move the request forward to and schedule the item for consideration for the Council of Governments. We took out a few lines here. We just said the Council of Government reviews the project request at their next meeting rather than waiting annually. And we can strike exhibits. The review and rating sheet should be application now. Right?
Yep.
Council determines the official score of each project. So that doesn't seem to make any sense. Because the rating sheet had a scoring matrix.
The council makes a recommendation as to whether a request price should be added to the priority list.
Yeah, why don't we just... council makes...
And you take out and determines how each should be scored?
Right. Take out determine the official score for each project and just go council makes a recommendation as to whether a requested project should be added. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the recommendations of the kind. Well, this is mixing things up a little bit. Because this is actually, this line is saying they add it to the priority list. And this, I thought we were talking about requesting the money. So this seems to be putting it on our list.
Yes.
Mixed in with requesting quarter funds. So there seems like there should be a process for... Is there a need for a process to add to this list? This is the Council of Governments doing this.
I think there needs to be that process of the application review, making sure it meets all the criteria, add it to the list, and there needs to be a separate process for the local governments to request money from the COG.
So there's really two applications.
Yes.
One is the application to put
a project on the list.
Because we may not get funding or decide to start acquiring property.
Yeah.
And then we need the funding application. And maybe that's what it should be called, is something to designate. All right, so we'll probably revisit this.
The county commission actually has to approve the list, too.
Right.
So that's what the next step four is.
Yep. Right.
Okay.
And so some of this is like, for example, step two, requesting authority provides supporting documents.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be to be on the priority list?
Well,
what kind of examples would that be?
I think it's, I haven't seen it, but that Exhibit A, the application, and the Exhibit B, the rating sheet. I think all those information, all that.
I think that was what they were for, right?
Yeah, just to say that this meets all the requirements, and I think that's what, as long as it meets the requirements, it should be able to be added to the list.
Right. And so I've been concentrating on getting the funding to get the property. But yeah. This is really a different...
This is a different process here, for now. Step one through...
It's the mechanism to make sure that a project qualifies and get it on the list.
Right.
Right. And then there should be, when the time comes to get to use corridor funding...
That's step six. Step six, step seven, six on is the funding mechanism.
So it seems like step three starts into that process, though. If there needs to be any conditions and stipulations, sequences, things like that, that seems to be after you are applying for funding. So we probably need to delete that last half of step three and move it later in the document.
Right.
At the point of getting it on the list, there shouldn't be any stipulations or anything like that. It's just this project qualifies for COG funding.
So you're saying if there needs to be any,
yeah,
from there on,
that needs to be moved to, I don't know where in the document.
So how about, what if you added a step before step four? You basically took what you want to move and you say whatever entity it is that actually is going to spend the funds makes a funding request. And you then tack on if there needs to be any conditions, and you put that as part of that funding request step.
That would be
step five.
I'm saying you put it before step four, because then the county commission is going to hold a public meeting to consider the recommendation and the requested projects.
But step four is actually the list.
Putting it on the list.
Oh, that's getting on the list. Okay, so then step five, gotcha.
We have another step where they have to go and tell the public they funded it.
Right.
So you're talking
about... So step five, they actually make the request for the funding. And you can have some of that included in there about...
Yeah, well, six talks about that. And so so I think this should move down to step six. And we just still eliminate step five.
There's nowhere in here where it says the entity actually comes in and makes a request for funding.
Right, and we need...
So rather than deleting step five right now, just make that step five the
process for the funding.
Process for funding, yeah. They submit, and we need to develop a for funding sheet that they fill out.
Maybe the steps, one through four... stay as they are. Step five comes out, and we start over with steps one through four for funding.
Yeah,
because otherwise, it looks like
a continuation,
and it should be a new thing. And so this blank for five should be funding process.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
We need a subheading at the top here as well.
Right.
For addition to the priority list.
Right. So we'll change the steps, funding process. So we'll hear. What did you say?
Priority list process.
Yeah. That's part of it, but it's adding. How do we say that? It is adding to the priority list.
Yeah, adding a project to the priority list.
Yeah.
I'll work on the verbiage, but yeah.
So is this list actually a ranking? Is this
no?
It is just saying it's eligible for COG funds for corridor preservation.
So it's not in order of a priority.
Yeah, there's no priority to it. Because there's no reason to prioritize this list, because the only time you need to prioritize it is if there's more applications than funding, and then you just prioritize the applications and not the whole list.
Okay.
And I think we've been using this, and that's why I got confused between the two. We've been using this as needed. So it hasn't really had that priority. I mean, you and I both know number 10 is a pressing issue, which is Westview Drive. There's a whole bunch of things on here. But Cedar Belt Route 56 to SR 130, that's got many stages in them anyway.
Yeah.
And that's not the way I would break it up. 56 to Minersville. I'd first get to Mid Valley.
So the funding process, is that good enough? What's in there?
All right, let's look at the funding process. Well, I think what we have to move. No. And Mary Lee, since we've been actually going through this process, we've been making some steps that come about to acquire the property. We just don't go out. We realize you just can't go out and say, hey, Bob, do you want to sell your land? Okay, here's some money. We actually did the appraisals. We did that, but we realize we need to get a title company involved to make sure it's clear.
Yeah.
We need to have some steps. And so we created some steps where we'll handle it if it's local, but if they're out of state, we need to hire a title company to get the paperwork signed and dealt with legally. For example, we've got one owner in New York. I don't think the commission will let me go out and get signatures for that. So we'll want to have a title company make that arrangement. But other things, we can do the paperwork, save the county and the preservation fund monies by doing some of the legwork ourselves. But in the process of a few properties we've obtained, we realized that there were some steps that we needed to. Fortunately, they owned them free and clear, and there wasn't a title problem. But we really hadn't checked that out until we got to a point where we found somebody who had a lien on it. Not a lien, but owed the bank money. They were still in the process of paying it off. So now we have to go through that, recognize that there's a step where we want to make sure the bank is satisfied and not just the people. Don't give the people $80,000 and find out they owe a $60,000 bill. Because now we own the property and the bank's going to come after us. But we haven't made that screw up. So anyway, so what do you think? 6, 7, 8, they'll become steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 again for funding. Do you see anything wrong with these steps?
Mm-hmm.
In the process of purchasing property too, we did do an appraisal. I approached a group, and in fact the COG approved the purchase. That's that $210,000 property out there on 44,000 North. Well, they came back and said, we think it's worth more than that. I said, well, you'll have to get your own appraisal. They came back and got an appraisal which was 2 months older than the appraisal we had, and there was a sale in between. And they got an appraised value of $10,000 more. And this all stimulated thinking that said, hey, if you want to check our appraisal, which was an independent appraiser, then you have to do it you have to do the appraisal the same day. We are not going to chase sales. And that's ended up what happened, was there was a sale between their appraisal and our appraisal.
So I have a
so what do you think
problem with this?
Yes.
As I look through it. Ultimately, the county holds the funds and has to budget for the expenditure of the funds and is aware of what the fund balance is and all of that stuff. The county commission's only real involvement in approving this stuff
And I get that it's the Council of Governments that needs to, it's the kind of the governing body over the funds. But the County Commission really only has any say in whether, in step four, may place conditions or stipulations for a project to receive funding when they establish a priority list. So basically, the County Commission can ultimately say whether a project should be on the, should receive funding when the priority list is established. Nothing to do with when the funds are actually requested, because when the funds are requested, application for funding and all that stuff goes to the county planner. But at the end of the day, the Council of Governments is the one that then approves it and allows disbursement of funds.
And the County Commission, like, they're just appropriating the funds.
There may not even be the money for the project. The Council of Governments says, yeah, go do it. And meanwhile, the County Commission still has to budget it and actually expend the funds. So I just wonder if
that should maybe be part of the application, is for for us to check.
Sounds like we need to pull the County Commission's approval to the very end of the funding and not put
that's
it on the priority.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Is
the County Commission should be the last approval and everything else before that.
And I get that it's probably designed for the Council of Governments to make the decision, not the county government, the County Commission. But at the end of the day, they're the custodian of the funds, and so they still need to be involved in the final.
Are you saying that, or is that one of the stipulations in step four that they?
No, because through step four, it's just what's on the list.
Right.
Every one of these projects would blow through the money that the county has many times over if all of these happened in 1 year. Or if too many of them happened in a year. Therefore, I think that the County Commission has to somehow be involved in the approval process of the expenditure of the funds towards the end.
But they're part of the Council of Governments.
They are,
and maybe that should be.
But there are a single voting member on that.
But maybe that needs to be a part of the question when the request is made. Is there money in the budget?
Yeah, because that's part of that. The Council of Governments needs to verify that there is funding in that pot before they approve it. Because the Council of Governments should not be approving.
So in step nine, Council of Government reviews application for funding. The intent of this review is to simply ensure that the project reflects what was previously authorized, that the jurisdiction is in compliance, and the applicable requirements of the law and negotiated price conditions are acceptable, and that there are adequate funds in the account. Okay, maybe that's enough.
That makes sure that we're not over allocating the funds.
Maybe that's fine.
Yeah.
It is, but you're right. The County Commission may place conditions or stipulations for a project to receive funding when they establish the priority list. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because a priority list is a priority list, whether it's the County Commission cares.
But you're giving them too much authority on the wrong part and not enough where they could get into hot water on their
budget.
Well,
that's why we were going to move that line to step four, because that
on page two,
page two. If there is need for any condition stipulation, we're moving it. You said to move it to another step.
That's in step four. What he was just reading.
Oh, it says it again.
The end of four. The commission may place conditions or stipulations for a project to receive funding when they establish the priority list.
That should be deleted. In my opinion.
But this process should be through the Council of Government and not solely controlled by the County Commission.
Right.
Yeah, so that should be, that last sentence should be taken out. However, I think Dan's right that, and I think it is in there.
I think it's in nine.
It's implied in nine.
Yeah, but it can be clear
in the account, because it's not the County Commission's money.
Right. But they still have their legal process to.
And that should be part of the.
Because they have to budget. They have to add it into their budget. They're kind of custodial.
They should just put the whole thing in.
And everywhere it says county planner.
I always put enough money in there that it would cover about anything that was going to happen, but. I didn't want to have a budget be $4 million over budget because of. Maybe or maybe not, some project may happen.
Everywhere it says county planner, Reed and I have discussed this, it's going to say county planner or engineer. Because sometimes one of us will be here, one of us won't. There's always it shouldn't be just one seat at the county receiving these applications. I've taken over receiving them anyway and pushing this forward. But so we put it together.
Can you make it a little more generic and just say in relevant staff?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't
think. I think you need to actually give somebody that duty.
Right. Yeah,
so it's not just...
Well,
there's too many random...
So here's the end of this. If the request is appropriate on step 9, which is the new step 4 in funding, the council authorizes the release of funds. Leaving it at that, it's authorized. Now the county has to go through their process, which could change next month, could change next year. Why would we put anything in this agreement that gives, that tells the county how to do their stuff? And that's what you're asking for, right? You're asking for, put something in here that quasi authorizes the county to release the funds. Why don't we just leave it up to them?
No, I just want there to be I want there to be something in there that the Council of Governments can't over allocate.
Yeah.
And it says there that there are adequate funds, and then I'm thinking then we need to make sure that the county's budget process has, you know, can.
But we let them determine that, not us. Because we have no control over that, nor should we. Just like they should have control over the priority list.
But authorize the release of funds sounds like, okay, go write a check.
Well, that's all they're doing, though.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Then Luke says, we got money, but it's not budgeted that much. We need to amend the budget first and stuff like that.
That's there you go. That's their process.
And that's what we've been doing.
And we would have to be willing. Well, we are. That's just what we have to do.
We just have to wait. We have to work with it.
And I tell
that,
them.
That sentence in there mostly just made me feel better because I didn't know there was any sentence like that.
Can we take out endorses the request, though?
Where?
At the end. AKA endorses the request.
Oh, the council?
Yeah.
But he endorsed the request.
We approve it and endorsing it at the same time?
And how many times can we say okay?
The rest, I read through the whole, I think the rest is fine on my side.
Step 4 says the county, the second sentence, the county commission determines whether a project will be included on the priority list
and the ranking.
And the ranking. But if we're not ranking the project.
Oh, yeah.
And that may need to be amended in the future if it becomes a point where it's a constant issue where there's more applications for funding than there's funds.
But this isn't.
But right
this,
now,
this part is just to put them on the list. There's no funding.
Yeah, I think.
So they don't need
the idea. The idea of this being a priority list is that you rank the projects of what one is most important.
You prioritize them.
To prioritize that list of what right of way or corridor preservation is most important, but that's kind of irrelevant with the way it works in
the county. So if you took the word out,
people are doing it when they get money, and so it's, you don't need to prioritize this.
But if you took away the word ranking and you put priority, and the priority,
there's no ranking mechanism though, even.
Right.
Well, I'm saying take the ranking out of it for now.
Yeah, and what Chris is saying is in the future when there becomes a need to rank it. Do we leave a window in the current document, or do we just revise it then?
Revise the document then, because right now it's not an issue, so we don't want to make it that way.
Because then you're going to have to start ranking projects, which...
Somebody's going to come in here and say, you don't do this.
The trouble with ranking these projects in this context right now is we have no idea when these projects are going to come open.
Yeah. No None idea where the funding is coming from or anything like that.
We know where the funding is coming from, we just don't. I'm talking about purchase. We know it's in the county's coffers, but we don't know if item number 18 or 19, that may, all of a sudden the owner may call and say, hey, I'm ready to sell. Oh, but you're not ranked at number 1 through 5, so we're sorry.
You'd probably have to rank the applications as they come in, so we were going to rank this batch of applications against each other.
But then that wouldn't do anything, because then it would go onto the list in batches.
Yeah, and you go on the list, but if it's ranked, and it's not high ranked, what does that really mean if it's the only person coming in for money?
Yeah.
Ranking doesn't mean squat.
It's only ranking. It's willing sellers that matter.
It's only going to be ranked, I think.
Yeah. Look at the asterisk in the bottom. Did you read that? Number shown does not indicate a priority placement. It is for listing only.
So let's say you have five applications come in for funding. And
for humans. You put a number by it, and I'm going to sign back.
It takes all that money plus some. Guess what's going to have to happen?
Then we're going to have to.
You're going to have to rank.
But not now.
And the Council of Governments is going to figure out what's
priority. Their priority
at that point, not the County Commission in step four.
Yes. So I think it's right. Let's take that ranking of each project out of step four, like Jonathan suggested.
Yeah. And this is why this whole reading this document has confused me, because it's had two different
roles.
Well, two different things going on in the same thing that appeared to be a continuum, because it went 1 through 9. And in reality, it's let's put this on the list, and someday let's fund it. And this is how we should fund it.
When we have willing sellers, then we fund it.
Yeah, willing sellers, and I've been pursuing them because I see I see too many people. This is a surprised look on their face when they find out there's going to be a belt road through their property. And I think nobody's telling them. And, you know, it just doesn't seem quite right. I actually had people that were trying to sell property out in Quitchapa because they knew we were changing the building code out there. And they wanted to get sold before somebody found out. Oh, no, you're not going to be allowed to build. You're underwater. So. Anybody else?
That's it. I'm just wondering about kind of the process for requesting the funding. It seems as you're going out and getting appraisals and spending and negotiating, is there a way that we could find out kind of prior to doing that, that it's likely going to be approved? I don't know. It seems like you're doing a lot of legwork, and then you're applying, and then there's a possibility you might be denied, I guess.
I guess that's part of the process. Before you do that legwork, I would just reach out.
You mean like step one?
To the county to say how much funds are available in the COG, and if I'm expecting my appraisals to come in at $500,000 for these parcels, is there enough to fund them all, or do I need to just do partials?
Not the amount of applications in any given period of time, and the funding available, and of course that would be a first come first serve basis anyway.
So should step one, should there be 5 steps for funding process, and step one is notifying the Council of Government during a regular scheduled meeting of intent to pursue?
That's an interesting question, because if you're negotiating with someone for property, do you want that to be in a public meeting?
Mm-hmm. I would say no. I think you just need to reach out to the county as a local entity and have that discussion. But you don't want to,
because that's one of the closed door.
That's
one of the things exempt from sunshine laws is personnel and property purchase.
Well, you could close the Council of Government meeting to discuss it, for that matter.
But I don't think it needs to be, because I think you just need to know what's in the pot of money before you start looking at the property.
Are there any other requests? And is there?
How are we doing on Westfield? Have you got everything to 800 now?
But at some degree, you also need to know that if, let's say it's a big project, you're going to want to know how the Council of Governments feels about whether they're going to.
Yeah. So are we coming back to look at this again in February?
Also, should that be Exhibit B now?
Yeah, I'll clean up the exhibits.
Can you, when you're done cleaning that up, can you send it out?
I had intended to. It was 2 months ago. I thought, well, I'll wait till I'm close to the date then. You know, I just came off vacation, Rob.
Okay.
I was in the Cayman Islands for a week last week.
Wow.
It's nice there. Every day that it's not 80, it's 81.
I'm a jealous person.
Okay. Why don't I clean it up and I'll send it out immediately this time. I'll just send it out. I'll send it out as a Word document.
And we can all hash it.
Well, that's all.
We can break it together. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you run the transportation priority list.
Which one?
This, of course, we took it off the agenda as an action item because it's already been approved. We're just having a discussion about it, right?
Yeah. We've always, from what I understand, this has just always been a standing agenda item. But there's you can see the stuff that's highlighted in orange, just stuff I wanted to bring up and have a discussion for when we get ready to do another adoption. So if you look at the top one highlighted in orange, there's no number on it. Center Street Overpass, I-15. We discussed this in June. It was added. It was added, but supposed to be removed because it is the TA-51. It's the same as the TA-51 project, accidentally listed in both sections for the final approval. So this line just needs to be deleted for the next time we approve the list. It's just a duplication.
It's down in the TA.
Yeah, TA-51.
I see it, yeah. And that was what we talked about 2 months ago.
Yeah. We talked over it. I just somehow I moved it from, I like copied it, but didn't delete it when I moved it down.
You didn't cut it, you copied it.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, on that one,
yeah.
You got the email for the TAP application process. That's the funding that we think would fit well for this project.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next one, I changed it on my Excel, but it's the C-50 roundabout at 1150 West. This was funded, so it's going to be moved to the funded. The funded portion of this list.
I'm just morbidly curious. $3 million or something?
$3.5 million.
How did it get so expensive? You got to acquire right of ways and
no.
Roundabout. It's not much right of way. It's reconstructing the road, and just the that's just the asphalt.
Just removing.
Removing. It's just that expensive.
Over exiting and replacing.
I heard that number and I was like.
That's why everybody on Facebook is like, that's so expensive, but you look at how many yards of concrete with all the curb on the inside and just completely reconstructing that much asphalt.
I figured it had to be right.
So back when we started this one, it was either $300,000 or $250,000 for traffic lights or $600,000 for the roundabout. Well, I was at your offices in Richfield yesterday and they said, it was more than $600,000. I'm like, really?
But that one won't be nearly the same diameter as
this. No. That one was a little over $1 million.
That's what the final cost was here. Uh-huh. So that shows you the difference in
that's in inflation.
Inflation.
Well, and,
smaller
and,
one
and,
cost you three times as much.
And access. You got to trundle up the hill to get there. We're talking Brian Head, right?
No.
This is right by SUU, right by the.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something up with Brian Head. Okay.
I just heard that number and I was just shocked me.
Well, I had somebody tell me the other day that before the jail failed, they said, you know, prices haven't gone up that much. But they can, and I thought, first of all, prices have gone up. But you're not building a residential or office building. You're building a jail, which is going to actually have higher standards.
You should have said, have you done any Christmas shopping yet?
Well, they were a builder, and they said, I buy material all the time, and I can't believe we're going to spend that much money.
We don't build jails out of plywood.
Right. I mean, you're talking, you know, the difference per square foot between residential or commercial versus a security facility.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to go on the next. You're just keeping tabs on this.
So just in the realm of keeping tabs, I've made a few changes to the list. I've added this notes column so I can, as we have discussions, I can write in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep them highlighted in this orangish color Just because it's going to help me remember, okay, these are the ones we discussed, and then I'll be able to, when we get ready to do an adoption, then it'll be easy for all of us to see, and we'll have the notes and everything in one spot. So right.
That's why I thought we were talking Brian Head. I glanced up here, I saw this, and I go, wait.
Oh, yeah. And then the last one was Brian Head. They're just about done with that project, and Aldo asked me to move it to the completed list. So.
Okay. Anybody else have anything on the list that they feel like needs to be updated at all? Excellent. Moving on.
Well, did we add to study for this?
It's under study C34.
For the underpass.
Mm-hmm. So we added that on August 2nd.
Right. Okay. Okay. And because I know you applied for the fund.
So.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to detract for a second. Reed asked me again yesterday if there was anything the county. I cannot think of anything that we would use, that we would apply for studies. Because I asked you about Westview Drive, and that's a pretty much hard no that we can't do a cross section.
Yeah.
We can't get design.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That would have been a great place to use it, was get some design.
Yep, they don't want any design.
So I will ask you, can you think of anything that, I've got till tomorrow to apply. Is there anything that anyone can think of that we should be applying for on a, from a study point of view?
Safe House to School doesn't require a study beforehand. Mm-hmm.
That's actually is the study before.
Yeah. I can't think of any pressing needs. But
Jonathan? Did you apply for any study money?
Just
the same. We're all piggybacking on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Co-applicants.
So,
oh, I'm sorry.
The mayor tells me she's been. Molly tells me that she's been going to some other meetings, and they've been talking about applying for funding for a bike trail type thing to connect to communities and all of this stuff. Is that going to happen? Is that happening? Like it. I don't know the.
So there's a lot of confusion around that.
Yes.
So there's a new type of funding. It's ATIF. It's Utah Trail Network. That there's no application. UDOT is completely managing and making all the decisions, building,
right,
taking care of that. We're just going to pick where we think is the best. We've got input from all the communities.
Right.
And now we're just going to take it and do what we want to do with that.
Okay. So that the, we don't need to do anything in this group for that.
With that. The TIF AT, we open up nominations for that whenever we do our process for that, and you can nominate a project to get 60% of the funding for the project. But you have to, each individual person has, or community has to nominate it, because they have to show that they're willing to bring that 40% match. So Cedar City is the only one that did do that process this time for helping pay for the trail on industrial road project. So
I think the results of that, they were talking about Cedar City through down Old Highway 91 through Summit to Parowan is what they recommended their thing, right?
Yeah. So we got lots of those big projects.
Yeah.
So we get $45 million a year, which translates to maybe, you know, $15 million a year for the southern half of the state.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're going to be chipping away at projects like that, but we're going to go through a prioritization process to say where's the best use of that money.
Okay.
And a lot of communities got confused and said, oh, there's new money, there's an application for it, but there's no applications. We take feedback,
okay,
and then go off of that.
I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have a left hand not knowing what the right hand was doing type situation, and we needed help. Be on the same page.
So, yeah, that's something I'm trying to clear up, because a lot of communities are saying, oh, well, how do we apply for that? I'm like, there's no application. Let us know what you would like,
gotcha,
and then we'll consider it. And I've tried to reach out, like Cedar City's Active Transportation Group, I told them, we need to get with the county and say, what's the priority in the county for these trails? And that gives us more, as long as there's buy-in for the county, that helps us prioritize better.
Yeah.
So having everybody say, yes, we all agree that these few trails are the most important in the county.
Well, there's a huge thing, you know, connectivity between Brian Head and Parowan, the huge, you know, mountain biker, all that stuff. I just don't think it goes, and that's a huge priority for Parowan. I just don't think from the county's total perspective, connecting these communities together would be huge. And I think that's what the results of their conversation. Were you in that meeting?
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to communicate, is like, we want to connect destinations or employment centers so we can get mode shifts. So rather than everyone having to drive a car, they can ride a bike. There's an available, convenient method for them. So really the priority for us from UDOT's perspective is Enoch and Cedar City, making sure there's an active transportation connection, a good one, would be our priority, because that's where the commute is. That's where we're going to get the most shift to pull traffic off a state route.
Travel.
And then,
are we ready for a Brigham Young moment? It's going to be one solid city from Parowan to Cedar before too many more decades. Just saying.
Okay,
Brigham Young moment is over. You all can say, I remember I sat in a meeting.
I heard there was actually a prophecy about that. It was Brigham Young or something like that, but that was like a long time.
It was St. George to Hurricane, and it's almost there now. So.
But there was one that was actually Cedar to Parowan.
Was there really?
Yep.
Of course there was.
And it's like, that was a long time ago.
We started a new rumor, and it was this day. Write it down in your journal.
Did you hear that Parowan and Cedar and Enoch are actually competing over annexations? Yeah.
Now we're going to start competing with Parowan.
Some are going to try to become their own city.
We're fighting over something.
Because there's so much water.
Oh, yeah.
They say as they're annexing towards Parowan as we speak.
Shh. Yes. Keep Parowan.
How far does that annexation go, Rob? I'm totally joking. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, that's good.
Okay, let's go on and stop this having fun stuff. Review the traffic demand model. Go ahead.
Okay. So we had a meeting about a month ago. We invited Natalia Brown from UDOT, who is the guru for the modeling, the traffic demand modeling. And the RPO has a contract with UDOT to participate in that process. It's part of us having our own traffic demand model. UDOT does manage that, but we are supposed to help them out. And I've been meeting with Natalia a lot to learn the model, and so has Reed a little bit. And this is the next process, is to review these daily traffic numbers through 2050. You can see on the left here, there's the 2019 base numbers, and then we have 23, 28, 32, 42, and 50, which matches the same timeline as the UDOT long-range plan. And so we have to look at these streets, these corridors, and try to figure out if...
What do those numbers represent? They don't make any sense to me.
Which numbers?
These ones?
The numbers on those roads.
These are average daily traffic.
All right, now that makes sense.
Current?
So, no, so 2023, so we can actually click along here.
What's it on now?
Because you're on 32,000 on Main Street, or 36,000.
That's the 2050.
Okay.
That's the 2050. That's the 2050 numbers.
Where's the... So
these are...
Oh, here it is.
Forecasted.
So we can look at 2023 here. 2050 is what on the left here, you can see what those numbers are when we click on them. So we can click here, and we can see what the model is doing. And so we have to basically put in here a plus or minus number of this purple one in purple.
Right, here's a good example. 33,000, 18, and then back up to 26,000. So that's obviously incorrect. So that's one of the things we want just to look at to get a quick gut check. Saying, and then that is the reason why that's off, is because we've recently gotten traffic counts from our studies that's south into Cedar, And so we've updated that, and that is correct. So this is
incorrect. So the 33 is correct. It's just
that 18,000 is obviously higher because it doesn't drop from 33 to 18 back to 26. There's not that many side roads.
Where's that liquor store anyway?
We can't wait.
They're just going. Everybody's going into Culver's and coming back out.
I was going to say they're all going to the donut shop and then turning back around. Anyway.
So what's the period of time of that traffic count?
So the 18,000 is 2050 and it's showing.
No. But in what is that daily, weekly,
daily?
I'm surprised the freeway is not that much higher than Main Street. Yeah. But I guess that makes sense because there's a lot of traffic that drives on Main Street.
So this, we went through this with them,
mm-hmm.
and they want to get input, but when we discussed traffic counters, how to get those and kind of get more accurate for now.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're all just kind of, that's an obvious change.
Yeah.
Right? But that someone can just stick in their, half.
We take traffic counts, annually. So we can
So that's what we would like to get, is if you're taking traffic counts, verify with this, because we want that actual data. And the rest of this is just a gut check, because right. a lot of these are just a guess. And so if you drive that road daily and you're like, you know what? It's saying that there's 2,000 cars per day on that. It's like, it's not 2,000 cars per day. Then we can go and adjust it. But sometimes those lower numbers, it doesn't affect the model anyway, so it's not a huge deal. But we just want your guys' input to make sure you have buy-in to say, well, you guys' model's crap anyways, so why are we listening to it?
We're always saying it anyway.
So, or like this. This is the attempt to say you're buying into it.
So another thing to look for that I've learned.
I put a number in there.
About this process is one of the bigger deals is to try to just find those anomalies, like see the zero right here. We probably should adjust that plus like 27,000.
Yeah.
So we could go in there and say, okay, we're just going to do plus 27,000 here for 2050. Maybe we could match it or come up with a similar number.
You might want to start at the 2023 number.
So we could go.
Is it like recalculate automatically?
2023.
Oh, you got 0 and 0.
Yeah, so adjust it to around that 20,000 mark. And then let that average growth take you to the 2050
number. That in my opinion, is probably 20. It's a higher number than 20,000. Only because
people, getting up
people are turning around and going back after Ember Rally.
Yeah.
They don't go all the way to this elementary school.
No.
And we're going to want to adjust for all of...
Well, do you? Does it automatically adjust?
It doesn't.
Oh.
See how there's no... I've switched to 28 here, and there's no data.
Oh, yeah, there's just no data there. That's really weird.
And then we can put in here, we want to put notes of why we're making those changes. So we'll just put, correlate with
east and west.
Adjacent,
match the rest of the street.
Yeah. The road doesn't end.
It's a black hole.
It's a portal. You drive through it, you come out the other side.
So you've already sent the link to this. Right? It's already been sent to us.
So with this one, you have to have access, and only Reed and I have been given access.
So we need to look at it and then get the numbers to you, and you can put them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you do screenshots? And we?
I can do screenshots. So we'll want
to
get this.
We don't have to have access, but we can.
Yeah, so you could get on with Reed.
Of course.
But if you all want to look at this closer, I'll be happy to either
I would like
get
to
on
see.
Individually with you or
we'll just do a Teams meeting or something.
Yeah.
What I'd like to hear is a priority list that you guys have. I know you've got your own counters, Jonathan, but I have counters. And if I just knew what do you want us to
we
start.
We have police.
I've got
you don't like our police sign that we haul around a trailer and count traffic?
You know, every Sunday when I drive to church, I'm going way too fast because it's sitting right in my
So you're biased. You're biased on the traffic counter because you don't like the number on the screen when you're going past it. I get it.
I can't even turn into my parking lot without turning it on. Because you've got it right out there at the end of my... I might turn in.
It's just for you. It's your fault. All your neighbors are calling us. Son of a...
Yeah, we have those signs too. Yeah, we collect data with the driver feedback.
I just had trouble collecting the data.
We actually mount those on poles. It's not on a trailer.
I know,
but we can move them around. But.
Okay, are they on speed signs? Is that what you've done?
Yeah,
they do alert.
Yeah, they alert, but they also collect data.
Oh, you do have
so that. It counts cars as well, and so. It tracks the speed that it counts.
Where did you get those?
We'd have to ask the police chief.
How
sure.
Many do you get?
I think we have about 6 of them. Okay. We move around.
So I have to have this in to Natalia by January.
Oh. All right. Well, we.
So what are you doing here?
I'm here all day.
You know, you could probably look at Enix. Just glance. We don't have that many roads. Like Cedar City's probably got a lot more, but you could look at Enix on your own time. Like when you're on vacation.
So, do you have any data from your driver feedback sign?
I'm sure we do. I just don't have it.
It might be worthwhile if you ask, get the data, send it to Nate, and he can provide what updates. Because it's not going to be super beneficial for all of us to sit here and go through there unless we have data to update it from. Yeah. And the same thing, John,
well,
you can pull anything you've got.
If he looks at it and it shows an anomaly like that one, then he can call me and say, hey, this is an area that looks stupid. Mm-hmm. But if there's nothing, if they're really close and connecting roads are close and all that, I don't think there'd be an issue.
And as you said before,
we don't have any other numbers.
Yeah. Ideally, if you do have
small changes of 1,000 or so on a small change, isn't going to make a difference.
The models is only good as your input.
You know, if it's 1,600, and we go, oh, I think it's
really. Any data we have to verify it can really help.
Yeah.
Make sure we're on par with
the rest. What we're looking for is real.
So these numbers on here came from an algorithm based on
we'd want to put in a number for
routes,
like
we
20, 42,
and then some
20,
of it, we kind of guess
so
what those other roads are based
zero,
on
feeders and
feeders
zero,
and like that.
But it's probably going to be built.
So yeah,
it's
based off
of
like census data we get, and then
this is Irish
what
count
we do have.
It's not even there.
So we would put a number. We just ask
in 2050.
In 2050. Oh.
Right. That's what.
Because they're building it into the model.
Well, how do you know that?
The first thing you can do is look.
Well, you
can
look
at
the
5700.
Yeah.
The south link.
And at least that would give you somewhat.
That is a starting point because
so 5600. No, SR 56, and I-15 in between, or to the north, and 56 to the south, and see what those numbers are, and just kind of just say, hey.
See what the bleed off is now.
20%.
You know it's going to jump as soon as it's a true connector. It's going to take
off. Sure. So that's what you do. You figure what's coming off I-15. And
well, I'm looking at now 2100 and 1400, and I'm going, well, you put that link in there. And that's going to almost
Nate, you
go up by half again.
Give me a call sometime. We'll do a Teams meeting and go repair one.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I bet we're going to be. We don't have any, that I know of, any data to throw on it other than what UDOT has recently collected.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
So, and yours is pretty small.
Do you
want
to borrow our counter for 200? All I need is a week.
But I'm saying that we have recent data. UDOT has recent data. I think if they pull it into their. Because they had the trailer out and did it for the intersection there, which means you're going to have.
So I think that's where it is because that was in another region. It may not have that data, so we may need to reach out to Jared or whoever has that
Jared
data.
It was Jared. He just did it.
And so it may be worth reaching out to Jared and saying we're updating the Iron County model.
200 main and
counts?
Center were what they just have done, and that's going to be the most relevant stuff.
So
does that stop sign count? The one at Maverick, or is it just a flashing stop sign?
Flashing. So if you reach out to Jared and say we want those counts so we can update the Iron County model,
okay,
I think that would be beneficial.
Okay, that's the most important.
Oh, look, here's a 3600.
I'll reach out to Jared and get that information for you. Because, I mean, literally, it's the only other stuff on here. Old Highway 91, 650, Gap Road, 450, like, Paraguna Highway. I'm just saying, that's the only roads we're even measuring have just been done with it.
We could do this probably in less than 30 minutes.
Well, I can just have him get you the information. Oh. We didn't have to get together.
Well, that can't, that doesn't, yeah, well, there's one that doesn't make sense. That going up to Brian Head, it drops by 2,000 by the cemetery.
Yeah, it's like assuming that people are getting off here, but it's more.
We all know there's nowhere to get off.
Yeah. Subdivisions.
Yeah, the cemetery.
Like they're getting off at the pool, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's how busy our pool is.
So that could be, like, you know, like now that the pool's operational.
Internal well, no, now it's not 4,200. It's.
Oh, but that's the question, is that 2,000 may need to be bumped up closer to that 4,000.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
There's definitely not 2,000 cars.
Getting off
at the cemetery.
They're continuing up to Brian Head.
I see.
We have a really popular cemetery.
Okay, are you guys going to be able to look at Parowan and Canaraville to get an idea? Paraguna.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. I can have us put up the counters down there.
Okay.
We'll get some real numbers before January 1st.
And then Canaraville.
Mm-hmm. We'll put. What do you think? Canaraville 91 for sure. Their main street.
The one road.
I would only worry about that one because the rest of them, you know, the traffic counts aren't high enough to.
It's not right. Really going to show
issues
in Canaraville.
And honestly, even the traffic counts on Old Highway 91 probably aren't high enough to really worry about because it's not going to.
This is kind of.
There's not near enough traffic to say we need to add a lane or do anything.
That actually looks legit.
That's not about right.
That looks legit because they're coming out of Canaraville going to work.
Yeah. Or coming into Canaraville Falls from the north.
Right. But they're not going south. That's me driving south because I'm probably the only one interested you.
That's for the people going down to Costco.
So that's the one road, but
yeah,
there's not a lot of roads. Can we do a figure out a time on our calendars real quick?
Maybe I'll do Bumblebee Springs, the overpass out of Canaraville too.
Yeah, just
that one. That's 1,200 of Bumblebee Springs. I don't think that anything else in Canaraville's got any traffic on it that's going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say,
about
if you're placing them to get data, pick the
or
ones that the busier ones that have a bigger
Main Street in
Paraguna.
Yeah. We'll get both ends of it.
Yeah.
How about 14th?
Yep, I've got a 10:30. I could do first thing, or I could do like one.
Let's do.
I'll just send you a spreadsheet, mate. Okay. Is that good?
I'll put 8 to 9. I'm guessing it's not going to take that long. One second.
No, check with my police chief on ours and see if he has any accounts for. He's downloaded any information.
When I talk to him, he doesn't do that very often.
Yeah. I need him to do it every time.
That's free data. You're just, you know, that
you're wasting right now. Mm-hmm.
This is going to look weird on your calendar.
Okay.
Meet with Dan J about traffic model.
It's all good. I added it. I put it separate calendar item, so it makes sense.
Okay. Everybody done with that? Can we move on?
Can I just send our report? I don't know.
I was going to make it a spreadsheet for him, the ones that we do.
I'm not sure what format.
Okay, if you guys can actually go on and just do this.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Me and Reed can do it.
Yeah, okay. You guys are special.
I drove the short bus when I was a kid.
I trust the rest of us.
I don't know why. That's just how UDOT set it up.
County slang.
Just give the names out. Yeah. You can trust these guys.
Rob, I don't know.
You might want to just limit those guys to the website.
Okay. Do you want to get with me sometime to do this?
Yeah. I need to see what format our data is in. I don't know if it's in a spreadsheet or not. But yeah, I guess we just need to meet and go through it.
Okay. Do you have a calendar or
Yes, I do. It's
no, very cold. Feels like doing that day.
About the 21st.
That's what I do.
Believe it.
I never got to the office. Let's see. I went to look at one thing and then out with the road crew on 77.
I went up in the morning. I could do that.
I could do that.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
That's why I have. That's why
I went to work to even make it to the office.
It seems like I got back from vacation and I've been whacking moles ever since I got back.
You just do what some of us do.
We can just do
go on online. Vacation and work the whole time. Yeah. I said it last week.
Keep going out of country. And
what time does it work?
Oh shoot, I did.
It rang a couple of times. I pick it up. Hello, and I'm up.
What time? Just in the afternoon.
My last vacation last week.
2 o'clock.
Two
at my house with the computer on, linked to my computer here, working the whole time.
Okay.
Ooh, I had to take vacation.
I think I've got everybody's schedule.
Okay, so let's move to project studies updates for everybody. Brianhead, what are you guys doing at Brianhead?
Nothing.
Okay, good. Let's move on to B, Cedar City. You want to update us on your projects, road projects, the studies or anything?
Solutions development. I think we've got the draft report. I'm not sure when that's going to be finalized.
It's going to take longer because the new economic development director, Dave Johnson, reached out to me and said that that portion of the downtown portion is not what they want. And they're going to kind of force the consultant, Blue Line, to do more stuff. So the more of that roadway portion of it is basically done. Just last few comments wrapped up, which we were hoping to do by January. But with that extra downtown portion, it may be a couple more months. So I think before we finalize it, it's probably going to be probably March time frame. But I'm waiting to get a meeting set up with Dave and the consultant to walk through that schedule of what they're expecting to see for that downtown economic development portion.
Okay. I didn't know that. So I might talk to Dave about that. Okay, that's good to know. At the South Interchange EA, so that's ongoing. Hopefully there will be a selected alternative early next year.
I'm not sure what the schedule is. I think it's supposed to be early next year. I think they've narrowed it down to two alternatives that they're doing more analysis on.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially a two-lane spooley with a bridge right there to cross connect right south of Home Depot, right the liquor store, and then the other one is just move the ramps further south. It's the other two alternatives we're looking into.
I think they said March detail. They would have a decision made by March.
Talked about the roundabout, so the city council's on board with that. Everyone's good with that, moving forward with that. So I think people are more open to the roundabout option now. So
okay.
After Enix success, that's
the mayor sent out a draft of moving that road closer to I-15 and closing the one next to the stadium with that SUV loop. It didn't get a lot of traction, and UDOT's basically said, well, we just want to verify that if we ever need to widen I-15, it's not going to impact our ability to purchase right away if we need to. And then we're not going to lead any discussions on it, but we're not going to say, no, you can't do it. So if the city wants to pursue switching that around and doing adjustments there, it's kind of, we're going to, I guess, lean on the city to say, here's all the data, and then we can provide input as needed. So. I don't know if he's talked to you about that or not, or how involved you've been.
Yeah, I've been involved with it. I think we wanted to get a study done, which an SUU was looking at participating with that. And also some developers.
But how would you know until the roundabout's done what the impact would be?
Well, no, it's not so much that.
It's right now where the stadium goes
by. I've seen the map you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, but shifting it down. That would have to be adjusted because the way that that road comes into the roundabout, it's not ideal, so it'd have to kind of sweep out and come in at a different angle.
And that's what the concern is? Or
no, I was just letting Jonathan know that you know there's been some discussion because there's been a few emails that if Cedar wants to change that, because right now it's a state route,
right.
If they want to move it, we're not going to do any of the work. It's all up to Cedar to say, get the studies done, get the engineering, and then come to UDOT to say, we're proposing this. Does it work for you guys?
And my point was, what studies could you do that would tell you anything until the roundabout's done to see the impact? I don't know if you could you?
Well, the impact is not so much a roundabout. The impact is higher density student housing that's going in around the campus. Uh-huh. That's what the issue is.
Yeah.
So we're trying to move traffic away from some of the residential neighborhoods, single family residential neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and move it over closer to I-15.
And that helps SUU so they have more availability for their stadium and parking.
Oh, yeah. Saw that map, I thought that was brilliant.
It would help.
You're pulling all that traffic from people crossing the street and just going.
Yeah, because on game day, they have to close down on that road. So it would help to bring traffic around the parking lot as well. There's a benefit to SUU, but also to the city.
Would you close that road?
No, it'd be moved.
It'd just shift it.
Well, that's my point. That would be gone, and the new one would be to the west of the.
You just make that parking lot right there by where the road is.
Yeah.
And add spaces where the road is. That's what you just said.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. I would actually go to games more often.
No, I would. Well, not if you work from home anyway. Yeah. You'd have to haul your computer over to the stadium.
Every time I travel I-15 at certain times of day and see that bridge and see those cars backed up going to school.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm just big imagining that roundabout and cars just moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They just keep flowing.
Flowing instead of, and the sign's getting hit every once in a while because that's the only thing that happens now.
So make it the concrete.
So last week, we in the Grand Cayman, when you come out of Georgetown out of the airport, you hit a roundabout. You go 3 miles, hit another one, and they're just they're 2 and 3 lane roundabouts with dedicated. You know, if you want to go beyond, it tells you they have these squiggly lines in there that go like this, or you can do squiggly line like that, and it tells you ahead of time which lane you want to be in to get through this roundabout to go the way you want to go. Because they're 3-lane roundabouts, and they're smooth as silk.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else right now.
Okay. In Phoenix City, I submitted the application last night for that joint project for the three of us, that study. I did put in that application some verbiage about economic development and how that is going to enhance Cedar City's potential for economic development as through pushing Enix City purchasers. All of our money goes to Cedar. And it all goes past that area, which would enhance that ability for those landowners to actually gain a little bit more traction with their require their desire, I guess, whatever they're doing. SR-130 is still going through the purchasing acquisition of right-of-way process slowly, but it's happening, right? Little by little.
Yep, we'll keep it open until we fund the project, so we'll just keep buying whenever there's a willing seller until we build.
And then Old Highway 91, we're still in programming that funding from UDOT to do some enhancement there, some fix that, I don't know what you call it, cobblestone road. Or
and it looks like you might be getting more of it now added to Enix City.
Yeah. Which
and I know the
really
county's happy to ditch that and make it part of your road system.
Yeah, with that annexation.
I heard Marilyn say that something along those lines.
Yeah. Oh, that's because Bruce was pushing for it. Getting away from us kids in their four-wheelers tearing up the road.
Yeah. So so 600 acres are being annexed to the north of Enix, which includes Old Highway 91, part of that, And then the CJC is in under construction right now. And our agreement for the trade for the property was for them to chip seal, for the county to chip seal their own roads.
What is that road? Is it 5200?
And 600 and Little Eden Way.
And put in a culvert.
You're going to put some drainage in, help us out with that a little bit.
Did Sam work out the property owner's deed?
Yeah. Not that I know of.
That's a true win-win, because the county would have, the priority of that would have been so far down the list.
Well, and it helped
the
us.
The benefit is to really is to Enix City.
Yeah.
And residents that, for all intents and purposes, are city residents, they're just not.
Right.
And they have no intention to annex, and it's just this problem that ultimately was kind of always the county's to pay for, and the county didn't. Yeah, it's a good solution. Elegant.
Elegant solution. Elegant. Enix City, you know, fix your stuff, and we'll give you some property. But it worked out. But in the meantime, it created another issue, because the county has now turned over maintenance of Summit Frontage Road to Enix.
And you have to do the same thing we have to do. Go up to Summit to get to.
Yes.
You cannot bring a
unless we
dump
can get that underpass. Unless we get that underpass expanded, then we can just go that way.
And so Cedar City
go
dump
buy
trucks.
Some old mules from the
I
army.
I saw Cedar City dump trucks heading north one day on the freeway, and I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And then I saw them coming back down the road. You guys were headed to your well. And I was like, oh my gosh, that thing is such a pain for everybody.
It is. That's why that underpass can help so much. Or a connect, even just connecting some frontage to Cedar City through Canyon Ranch Drive.
Yeah.
Even that could be a huge benefit.
Yeah, even if we just had to go over the overpass back to it, still in the summer.
And then, so they've turned, which it's really stupid that Enix City actually is I-15 and the Summit Frontage Road all the way up to the north end, even though, I mean, Cedar City's right there. Like, we own the road, Cedar City boundary is the property next to the road. So I'm thinking about de-annexing all of I-15.
You don't get any tax revenue.
There's no reason for us to have I-15 in our city boundary anyway.
Hey, now you're hurting his feelings.
So we just went through a process and had to annex.
You're our friend
to get to the other side. And I was told by UDOT's lawyers, we do not participate in your annexing or de-annexing. We are not susceptible to your piddly little laws. And I'm like, we just need to draw a line on a map to get across the freeway.
But if we de-annexed, then
this is just your little game with the county.
The road is no longer ours. It's no longer in Enix. And then we got a road fixed up, and we don't have to maintain the other one across the street.
Yep. Just wait a few years. I won't care.
Anyway, okay. We're fine with it. We have a great relationship with Bruce and with the county and with everybody, actually. So we'll just make it work. Okay, Canaraville?
I don't hear anything.
Nothing.
Paragona?
And Paragon.
For when?
Yeah, a couple of things. So we have, on our Main Street Bridge project, we have had a soul-searching experience with the City Council. We have re-engaged Jones and DeMille to do a feasibility of rebuilding the Main Street Bridge at the Main Street project, assuming that we move the irrigation diversion, which opens up design options, so they're looking at those design options. We have given a heads up to UDOT and the Joint Highways Committee. Assuming that we get the results back from this feasibility study, it looks like it's more feasible, we're going to either informally amend the grant or go through the process to formally amend it. They're going to make that judgment call when we have the information that we have. But we have the political will to just move it back to Main Street. Hopefully it becomes a lot cheaper, which will end up spending all of the money that was originally allocated in 2019 to now build a cheaper version of the bridge in 2019, which will cost us probably every little bit that's been, you know, hopefully that's how we convince Joint Highways to go along with it, is that now we don't have to come back and ask for another $2 million to build the bridge that they planned moving it. So that's exciting going through, but it's all we got to hit our marks on the timing of everything. It's part of this other project. I'm meeting with the
reservoir company about the moving their diversion, meeting with them next week. We wrote a grant through the county, rural counties economic development to do a master plan of our industrial park, which was basically all of the land all the way around the airport. And in that master plan, we'll have designed, like, we'll have a map, utilities, show how the road is going to all go and all of that stuff. So we can take that and actually go after additional grants. And that's some of the things that are on our list. This, actually having a master plan and having drawings and having cost estimates and all that stuff will put us ready to actually go after grants. We're not just like kind of theoretically guessing at what it's going to look at, what it's going to cost. So hopefully we get that money.
Is that the Red TIF?
That is through economic, the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, their rural counties grant. We're writing it as a as an economic development thing for the industrial park. But it's one of its major components will be transportation plan for that whole area. So we'll actually have drawings and all that stuff.
Good.
So that's exciting. There was one other thing that I don't remember what it was now. So, I guess I'm done.
Chris?
I think Jonathan hit most of the ones I was going to bring up. South Cedar Interchange, environmental is moving forward. We're hearing good things back from Federal Highways, so we're still hopeful that we're going to get money to build it. But we don't. We won't know until end of December, I think.
Where is it?
South Interchange. So we're doing the environmental study on it now, knowing that we have to build it, and we're hoping we get federal dollars to build it. If not, we're going to have to find where we're going to get state dollars to build it from, which may be to the point where it's already starting to fail, like long delays instead of... I know everybody thinks it's long delays now. It will actually be long delays, like Salt Lake City intersection delay times, not... So, when we finally get money for it, if we don't get federal money, so...
Do you have any preliminary design ideas, or does anything get...
That's what the environmental is doing now. And so, yeah, we've narrowed it down to two alternatives at this point. We're looking into those two in more depth. So.
Yeah, me trying to get to Home Depot on Saturday is the worst. So, I got you.
So if we don't get this federal funding, plan on tripling that time by the time it gets built.
You need to drive that section of 200. That has zero traffic on
it. The next count will say one.
In fact, maybe that's what you can do on that map. Just change the sound meter, change numbers. Got it fixed.
Yeah, the model's not showing the traffic. I don't know what your problem is.
User error.
Okay. Any other discussion items you want to bring up?
We know we made the top list for the Iron Springs federal funding. We just don't know the amount. We did go into Congressman Stewart's.
Did you amend that so that because in the grant it said you will still build it if you didn't get fully funded? And I remember learning after the fact for a training that I went to, that means you'll build the entire project.
No.
Not you will only build a portion of it, which is what when I wrote that grant, I'm like, yeah, if we don't get fully funded, we'll just build until the money runs out. No, you're actually saying that you'll build the entire project.
Oh, which no, we've already
you
built.
Wrote it for it's $10 million, and if you only get $5 million, you're still supposed to build a $10 million road. I hope you know that.
No, that's scary.
It's scary.
I didn't know that. Washington County got one, but they didn't get fully funded, so I think they were discussing, we'll just...
I went to a training up in Salt Lake, and they said, oh, you need to make sure you understand how this works. When you say that yes, it will still happen if you don't get fully funded, the entire project will still fully happen, is what you're saying.
Oh, we just didn't say when, huh?
It will. It's just going to be...
We'll push asphalt out a foot every year.
Okay, well, our next meeting is February 7th next year. Have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming, taking your time to be a part of this organization. This is one of the only real long-term functioning multi-collaborative cooperative efforts which in the county, really.
Good time.
I'm not getting, for some reason, I'm not getting any.
Oh, go ahead.
We're adjourned. All right.
No motion. No vote.